The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Of course, he's a Yankee fan with that hat cocked to the side.
All right.
Have we noticed in the still image, there's a guy on the left wearing a sliding glove?
Yes.
An Evo Shield?
Yes.
Sliding glove.
What the?
So what do you think?
What is that?
I painted my face.
You painted your face?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, you know, support the team.
Like, that's the same thing as, like, wearing receiver gloves to an NFL game, right?
It's worse,
way worse. Receiver gloves, you might get to play catch with J.J. Watt. Like, you might.
Well, you can walk around like that.
Why not?
Because it's insane.
Oh, hey, you gotta let them know you're out there. This is the playoffs.
He's wearing a sliding glove?
Yeah, sliding mitt.
Yeah, like, you know,
it's just, and I believe it's like turquoise. That guy who's wearing that is also wearing sunglasses to a night.
Dave's, painted his face.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. Well, you gotta support your team, huh?
Okay, ready to go?
Yeah.
Let's get it on!
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man looked like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it. We all about it.
Listen.
Plans. We
listen.
Our chair stack.
I guess theoretically you already are, so probably don't have to say that again. I want to talk about all the things green and gold. I want to talk about all the things green and gold. Maybe even mention the World Series that ended last night. I want to. But if we don't start with what happened to Chewy yesterday, I will feel like we missed a real opportunity here. So we begin with the adventures of Chew. I do think we need an open or a music for this thing. Like at some point, like not right now. Like at some point we need to create like a dun-dun-dun-dun-dun womp. Chew.
Speed racer.
There you go. You just invented it. There we go. The open has been played.
Adventures with Chew. Chew, what happened to you yesterday?
Okay. Waze sucks. Sorry.
Take out Waze right away. Okay.
All right. I don't know what Waze had to do with this, but okay.
Well, okay. So I had to bring one of the blinds that broke in the bedroom into a place that could fix it. And I kind of knew the area. So I plug it into Waze, da, 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 and it kicks me down a side street for whatever reason. Okay, so I'm following Waze, going down a side street, and there's still a ton of hurricane debris, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's piles of trees, you know, everything. And it's kind of an old school, like New Orleans type car and a half fits down the road. So I'm going down and I'm weaving in and out of debris piles, right? And in the distance, I see, an electrical truck, like a big We Energies truck. Okay? So
right.
You guys clear on the scene?
Yep.
So they're just setting up and they're putting an orange sign down where I can't take a left. I didn't want to go left anyways, but there's a car coming at me as well, and one of the electrical guys is kind of directing traffic. So he's waving me through. And I love old people, but they have issues.
Seems like you
they
don't.
They have issues. Some of them should not drive, number one.
Well, fair
okay?
enough.
Some of them should not drive, and there's a lot of them down here. So the lady wanted to take a right. Old lady. You know one of the old ladies? Probably a sweet old lady that can barely look over the steering wheel.
Sure.
You know?
Uh-huh.
So she was clearly upset that she couldn't take a right.
Because that was, okay? like, closed down.
They just shut it down.
Okay.
So the guy's waving me through, and she has her little tantrum, entitlement, you know, I've been on this earth long enough, I can do whatever I want. She decides now she's going to take a left. Right?
Mm-hmm.
As I'm going straight. So she essentially cuts me off where I swerve to the right to get out of the way, And I didn't see the fact that the electrical truck had a telephone pole about 8 feet off the back of it.
Oh. Oh.
Telephone pole through the windshield.
That's crazy.
She doesn't even stop.
I'm here.
She just goes right around me and keeps going.
She has no idea what's going on around her.
I'm like, and then the guys came over, checked it out. I said, I'm fine. Where did she go? I want to chase after her.
Man, after my own heart.
But that wasn't the worst part of it.
Really?
What do you think the worst part of it was? What do you think the worst part of it was, Jen? What do you think the worst part of it is?
Telling your wife?
Probably
the
not
phone
the
call.
Yeah, I was about to say, not the telling of the wife reaction.
The phone call. All right, so here's my windshield smashed. I'm about 0.2 miles from the destination I had to get to. I'm steaming. I'm fuming. I'm fine. And it's the wrong place. So that just escalates my anger.
Wait, the wrong wrong blind place? Because you were going to the blind place, right?
It was the showroom. Uh-huh. I had to go to the fix-it place,
the repair
which was downtown. So
you shouldn't have even been over there. You shouldn't have even been in that neighborhood, right?
So I'm playing a little blame game in my head. I don't know if it was fear or anger. Can you tell the difference?
Both. Adrenaline was probably through the roof, dude. A telephone pole came through your windshield. Like, as soon as you said that to us this morning, I said, final destination. Final destination. And you were like, huh?
Yeah.
There is an entire generation of people my age who saw Final Destination as a kid at an impressionable part of their life, right? An impressionable stage. And now will never ride behind a log truck or really anything.
Go on a roller coaster.
That has something coming off the back of the truck, right? Like, if you see a truck hauling something, you move over. You're in the left lane. You're like, I'm not taking that chance.
So I'm like, all right, the call. All right, I'm like, because I'm, afraid of my wife, which a lot of men are. And I just tried to spin it, which I sold half of it. I sold it with anger.
I want to hear the spin job.
I'm like,
job.
You kidding
What's
me? Waste shucks. You sent me to the wrong place, went downtown, couldn't find it. Oh, and I smashed my windshield. What?
Wait, you tried to bury it? You tried to bury it?
Well, what would you do? Yeah, I can't come right. I'm like, if I came right out with it, I wouldn't have been able to talk anymore. So I had to. She knew I was, quite upset. And then, of course, we go over to my buddy's yesterday, chicken noodle soup guy.
Yep.
And he's just thinking, his mind works like, okay, you got to get someone else to pay for it. And I'm like, well, the lady's gone. And then he goes, was there a red flag on the back of the pole? Because by law, they have to have a red flag if something's sticking out the back. And I'm like, there was no red flag. He's like, did you take a picture of the truck? I'm like, Tim, the pole went through my windshield. I didn't have time to think, which electrical company was this?
I should document this, although he is right.
Yeah.
I mean, he is right, like, about all of the things. I think the frustration for you, we're putting a picture up on the YouTube stream now so you can see the indentation on the windshield from the electrical pole that Chewy made contact with yesterday. He is right, though, don't you think? Like, if they don't have a flag on the back of that thing,
That means they're liable, sure.
That feels like something that Angie would be all over. Something she'd be right on top of Chew.
I was surprised. She said, are you okay?
Wait.
I mean, that kind of...
Did she ask for what you thought the damage to the truck was first, and then ask if you were okay?
No.
Or did she ask if you were okay first?
No.
So you were the priority.
She asked if I was okay, and then 2 seconds later,
well,
how bad is it?
I mean, once you were okay, then she moves on.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. 800-990-3776. Reaction rolling in already this morning on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line. Jeff in Elkhorn says, Jen, you couldn't be more right about Final Destination. Chewy, don't go tanning today. Is that another Final Destination
reference? Well,
somebody
there's like three
fried in like the tanning
bed? I mean, realistically, there's nothing you can do because they made three of those movies.
And there were a lot of different ways that people died.
And they came up with very creative ways for people to die.
Yeah, and today is Halloween. So, like, there is that connection of, like, you know, that spooky sort of space that we are existing in. Kim weighing in saying, I actually thought about Final Destination yesterday as I was following a truck with pipes on the back and looking for where I could ditch if they started to fall off or those straps broke. As soon as Chewie said telephone pole, I thought Final Destination. Yeah. I'm telling you, Chewie, if you tell people this story, there will be people of a certain age whose brains will immediately go to the movie Final Destination. It's just one of those, one of those scenes that imprinted on your brain waves, on your DNA, and you can never forget it.
I'm not quite sure what else happens in that movie.
100%. That's what I was like, there was a tanning bed thing. I didn't even know that.
I'm not quite sure what else happened. I don't know who survived in the end, or if anyone did survive in the end. I just know that there are lots of different creative ways that people die.
Traumatized an entire generation of kids just trying to watch a scary movie, just trying to get a little adrenaline rush around Halloween. And here we are, you, the day before Halloween, with a telephone pole coming through your windshield. We are glad that you are okay, buddy. Now, let me ask you this.
Thank you.
You get PTSD from that type of stuff?
Yeah, I do. You know what the crazy thing is like, you know how they say don't see ghosts, Gabe?
Yep.
I mean, this wasn't a ghost, but it felt like a linebacker coming to hit me.
Sure. Well, we talked about it yesterday and how Andy Reid opened up your peripheral vision. I'm guessing out of the peripherals, I can see how that would be like a linebacker's helmet barreling towards your windshield.
Because I saw the truck,
but
the pole, I did not see the pole at all, and it was about 8 feet off of the back of the truck.
Sure.
But it was kind of on the passenger side.
Yeah.
So my vision, and I saw it out of the corner of my eye, and... Yeah, yes, I will have a little PTSD.
Maybe Angie drives you around for a little while.
That's what she said.
Well, but, I mean, what do you do? She's gone for work a lot, bud. How are you going to get to the gym if she's not there?
That's a good point. A lot of Ubers, I guess.
Again, as long as she writes off on the expense, you're fine.
But here's the positive. Here's the positive, because she's already on top of it. You know, she works for Caliber, which is a huge company. There's one probably 3 miles. So she's got the thing fixed on Monday. Little anger came out once things died down a little. But I said, all right, would you rather have me have destroyed the front quarter panel, which would have probably cost $1,000 if I didn't swerve on the way out of the way of this bag that would have hit me? You know? Would you take the cracked windshield?
Why? A quarter panel, I assume, is more expensive?
Oh, that would have been... Yeah, I mean, you're talking thousands. This windshield aftermarket discount from Caliber will probably be...
Why do
know,
I feel like, Chewie...
$600, $700.
Ah! Why do I feel like we are missing the thing, which is, you could have died! Like, I'm not trying to be overly dramatic, but again, this is the Final Destination part of me. That thing... coming through your windshield feels like the response across the board should be, holy bleep, I'm so glad nothing worse happened.
Yeah, but I look at it like the words of the great Kirk Cousins. If I die, I die.
Oh, I was going to say, you like that? You like that?
That's...
It wasn't Kirk Cousins. Yeah.
I think I could have took it.
Rocky?
If that thing came through, if it came through and hit me in the head, I would have been concussed, but I think I would have been all right. I think the hit from John Lynch when I played against him in 96 would have been worse than the phone pole hitting me in the head.
Gabe, can we please inject some reason into this conversation?
Look, I wasn't there when he got hit by John Lynch. I wasn't there when he hit the telephone pole. Who am I to say that he's wrong in this situation? In fact, I'll send you.
No?
Chewie might be right.
I'll send you the video, because for a while I was number 3 on top 10 hits in the NFL.
So Chewie said,
I'll send it to you.
If he could take a hit from John Lynch, he could take a hit from a telephone pole.
Yeah.
It's like if you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. That's what I'm hearing this morning.
I think you're underestimating the impale factor. Like the telephone pole going through your skull.
I'll show you the video, and then you guys decide.
Then you make the decision.
Chewie's over there like Happy Gilmore taking the hockey pucks, right? Where he's taking the
364 minutes more days till hockey season.
Trying to take him off. Like, oh, that one hurt a little bit, but I'm okay. Like, this is Chewie now with telephone poles. I, for one, am very happy that you are okay. And obviously,
Thank you. It was a scary
experience, and I'm sorry that you had to go through with that yesterday. All right, now, whew.
Just remember, Chew, you can't play scared. You got to get behind the wheel.
Exactly,
you got to drive again today. Can't play scared.
Yeah.
Not in that truck.
Well, not in that truck. I'm sure they've got another vehicle that he could get behind the wheel of today.
We got Jason Wilde coming up this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewie. Lots of stuff to talk about regarding the Green Bay Packers, including the fact that there were a lot of guys who did not play yesterday. How concerned should you be about those guys not playing this weekend against the Lions? We'll talk to Jason Wilde about that and more right after this.
Change the way you do business. Take more control with the payment process with Fifth Third Bank's Treasury Management Solutions. Their market expertise and managed services streamline the entire payment process and integrate with your existing systems, giving you more control than ever. With their suite of payment solutions, you will soon recognize new revenue sources that can save time, offset operating costs, and improve the bottom line, all customized for your business. Fifth Third Bank National Association. Custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
Ready? Put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewie.
From the Green Bay Packers taking on the Detroit Lions at Lambeau Field. I think it is a big game, but we are concerned about some injuries that seem to have cropped up with this team. Obviously, we all saw Jordan Love get injured in the game this past weekend, couldn't finish the game, but it seems like he feels confident, good. He's leaning towards playing just based on some of the things we have heard him say. We're going to get Jason Wilde's take on that when he joins us here in just a moment or two. Gabe, what was your reaction when you saw Jordan Love, Josh Jacobs, Rashid Walker, Elgton Jenkins, Josh Meyer, Jair Alexander, and Evan Williams, all DMPs at practice yesterday?
Yeah, my butthole was puckering a little bit. Yeah, it wasn't great. Not great. Feeling terrible.
Let's see how Jason Wilde feels about it. Good morning, Jason.
Why?
Okay.
Just listed three of the five offensive linemen, the starting quarterback, the starting running back, who's been a huge part of if your offense wants to succeed, if your quarterback can't go.
Jair and Evan Williams,
who, you know, they throw the ball pretty well, too. So to have two of your top three defensive backs out, not great. Not great, Bob.
Jason, how do you think fans should read that information that they got yesterday out of 1265?
Well, I don't think they're... As Gabe so eloquently put it, buttholes should be puckering.
It was poetry is what that was.
Not the way I was expecting to start my morning, but hey, you know.
Good morning, Jason.
Well, Chewie's the visualization guy. How do you think he feels?
I'll be honest. I'm not even going to go there. Speaking of wordsmiths and lyricists, in the famous words of the iconic Taylor Swift, you need to calm down. All three of those linemen will play.
Okay.
Josh Jacobs told us flat out he'll play.
All right.
Which a lot of times players say that, but in his case, I believe him. I think there's reason to be dubious about whether or not Evan Williams plays, because I just don't think the hamstring issue, especially when Matt LaFleur told us yesterday that he felt it in pregame in Jacksonville, decided to go anyway, and then had to leave the game. That is, to me anyway, a signal that you want to rest it and then have the bye week and then not have something that's problematic become catastrophic. So I wouldn't plan on having him. Jair, I have no idea, because as our buddy Rob Domofsky reported, they didn't find any structural issues of any kind with his knee. But at the same time, hop, 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 and out of bounds on the game-tying touchdown, not a great sign. So he was in the locker room yesterday. He did not speak with us, but I will Chew, you okay over there?
Yeah, I'm good.
So we'll see. We'll see if he does anything today. But I find it unlikely, and obviously he has missed some high profile games at times. But like last year when he was dealing with his back injury and his, I don't remember what his other issue was that he missed time other than the suspension. But he made sure that he was on the field for the one matchup with the Vikings. So I know it's not great to have 60% of your offensive line not practicing on a Wednesday, but I don't think any of those three are going to miss this game. So that should reassure you. The thing about that I'm curious about is Love, because I heard.
Yeah, I was about to say, you know, I noticed how you kind of ran through everybody else, yet the most important one you've kind of saved to the end here.
Well, and you know, obviously Adam's the absolute best in the business. And I listened to the audio yesterday from him talking to you guys. And you know, he made it very clear that he was guessing. I'll be honest, I wasn't surprised at all when Love didn't practice yesterday. Now, yeah. I'm not saying that's because I don't think he's going to play necessarily. And one of the questions I asked Love yesterday was, look, you know, we know you're tough. We know you're dedicated to your team. We know all that now. But do you have it in you to say, no, this is, I should not go? Because, you know, there was, I think there was pressure on him from some precincts that he could have played even earlier from a knee injury that was supposed to be a 4 to 6 week injury. And he came back after missing only two games. So, and he insisted that if it's not the right decision to play, he's not going to play. And that there is a confidence in Malik that they can win. They certainly want their guy out there, but if not, they can win with him. So we will see what happens at the quarterback position, but if there's any butthole puckering, it should still be with the quarterback, because he's the most important piece that we're looking at here.
Feel free to take that, Jason, and use it the rest of the week on Wilde and Tausch.
Well, no, I'm thinking about using it in print, because I feel like that really has more of an impact.
But, Jason, soft tissue injuries are different than a knee injury, you know?
No doubt.
There is a guideline for an MCL. With muscle pulls, they can't. It's not like they're going to go out and say, all right, you run a 40, I want it to be under 4.6, and then we'll know how. They can't ramp him up to 100% to see if it's fine until the game. So there is risk.
No doubt there is. Hey, bro, you're preaching to the choir here. I'm on your team. Like, yeah. I'm not playing them. I'm not.
Yeah, I agree. I'm with you.
Because the risk, and the same with Evan Williams that I just got done talking about, the risk is you take an injury that's not great, Bob, and you make it a hell of a lot worse. And I understand. This is a big game. I don't, you know, I heard... I watched on your Instagram, Jen and Gabe go back and forth. I want to make this very clear. I am not in any way saying that this game is not important or it doesn't matter. That is not what I'm saying at all. But I've been saying this since Jordan Love went out. Yeah, you would love to win this game. It's an important game. It's going to be part of the tiebreaker and everything else for winning the division, possibly getting the number one seed. All those things are true. But there's still 8 more games after this. Mm-hmm. And if you so desperately want to win this one, including a game against this same team, mm-hmm. I understand it's on the road, but there's still a game against them. So you still have another shot at them to at least even up the series if you do lose at home. I don't want Jordan Love playing if I'm Matt LaFleur or if I'm anybody over in 1265. I don't want him playing... And then this going from a strain to a Mark Tauscher tear it off the bone deal, and then he misses 4 more games. That's what I don't want.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that has to be the fear. And so, you know, look, they're not going to put him out there if he can't protect himself. I get that. But This is not an injury where you can just wrap it up and then move around gingerly. Like, look at what happened on the play that finally put him over the precipice and knocked him out of the game. Which, by the way, I confirmed with him, he was not told to go down short of the sideline. He was in such pain as he worked his way out of the game that he dropped to the ground, like, what, 2 yards shy of actually getting to the sideline? I mean, they didn't need him to do that to get the clock stopped. Malik was already on the field. Like, he was in that much pain. So, and I understand it's better now than it was on Sunday, but if it hurt that much, and you saw what happened, like, he got bumped at the end of the play, and he moved awkwardly within the pocket during the play. There was no, like, catastrophic movement where, you know, his leg slipped like it did in Brazil or whatever. And so the fact that it was that much pain and it was that subtle of movements that put him over the top would tell me that this thing needs to be babied a little bit. And that means taking the bye week, taking this week, and taking a portion of the week leading into the Bears game to get it healed up.
So how is the coaching staff handling this, Jason? Because if they were to win with Malik, we're all in agreement the game plan would be radically different than the game plan with Jordan, right? Like, that's the problem. It's not a problem, but that's the issue and the challenge that the coaching staff has to deal with when your backup has a radically different skill set than your starter.
Yeah, I would. I mean, I don't want to quibble with multiple words you've chosen today, and I certainly prefer radical over puckering buttholes, but I don't know if it's quite as radical as it was for those first two games. You're 100% right. It's vastly different. But I do think, you know, LaFleur was saying yesterday that they kept most of the game plan up in the second half of what they had for Love when Malik took over. Now, obviously, he also admitted after the game that they were going through stuff on the sideline, figuring out, all right, which of these plays that we have up for today are you comfortable with since you ran exactly zero of them in practice during the week. So I think it's helpful that he got all the reps yesterday. We'll see if he gets all or most of the reps today. But even if Love practices and we have to go through that stupid limited dance with the head coach again, even if Love practices, you know Malik Willis is going to get a meaningful number of first-team reps today. So if that's the case, you know, you have the opportunity to rep the plays that play to his strengths. Because look, they cannot beat a team that has scored 172 points in the last four games by running the ball 50 times. These ain't the Indianapolis Colts coming in here. So, you're right in that the game plan does have to be different. I think the mentality is let's get a game plan and let's rep a game plan that we would run with Malik. Let's have him run some of the plays that obviously Love would, and then let's rely on all the bank reps we have with this offense, with this quarterback, that if he's somehow able to go on Sunday, we've got enough in the bank that we know we can run this stuff.
Jason Wilde hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning. The other news out of yesterday was that Edgerrin Cooper was named Defensive Player of the Week, which is exciting. Obviously, we would like to have more players who are winning midweek awards and midseason awards and whatnot because it means they are trending in the right direction. And the note was that he was the first rookie Packer to win Defensive Player of the Week since Clay Matthews did it. Is he going to be the difference maker that this defense has been looking for?
He could be. Like, look, the guy's a ridiculous athlete. He's got fantastic speed. I mean, the play that he makes on Christian Kirk to break up that pass was a thing of beauty. I mean, the space that he closed after getting beat off the line of scrimmage. And, I mean, unfortunately for Christian Kirk, he then lands on him and breaks his collarbone. But, you know, what's amazing about what he did is that the Packers ran 57 defensive snaps in that game, and he only played 38 of them. And he still won Defensive Player of the Week. You know, he had a third down stop, he had the sack fumble, and then he had that pass breakup. So he's doing it without playing full time, and that's because he's a rookie who still screws up. By his own admission, we talked to him yesterday. Like, he, you know, he still makes mistakes. He lines up in the wrong spot. We talked about this back at the start of the year. The one touchdown that Saquon Barkley had in the opener was and you could see guys yelling at Edger and Cooper. It was because Cooper lined up in the wrong spot, and off Saquon went. And then the coaches had to take him out, and then they put him back in. But, you know, I asked LaFleur about this early in the week. Like, they did this with the offense, too, that you take these young guys, and you know they're going to screw up, and it's probably going to cost you. Maybe it doesn't cost you a game, but it certainly costs you a big play or something. They make mistakes, but they come out on the other side, and they're more ready to play, and it's worth going through the growing pains. That's how they view Cooper. So they're not playing him full-time, but they're playing him enough so he's having the impact he is, and they're able to mitigate the number of snaps that he's screwing up on. And to his credit, he's screwing up on fewer and fewer as the season goes on.
Well, and for Packer fans who were sort of accustomed to the linebacker position just being an afterthought in the defense, it's a nice change of pace for sure. Chew, do you know what Edgerrin Cooper's nickname was as a kid? You love nicknames.
Coop.
You know, that would make sense.
Yeah.
Yep, that would. But it was Flash. Flash was his nickname because he was so fast. Jason, we appreciate hanging out with us this morning. Have a good one, and we'll talk to you again soon. Happy Halloween.
Yeah, my nickname was never Flash, let's be honest. All right, guys, take care. Be good.
He's Jason Wilde. You can hear him on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every morning right here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee.
Guys, I'm telling you, if you're making plans to propose to that special someone in your life, the Jewelry Center, the only place to go for that ring. Chewy and I have been telling you about the Jewelry Center for years, but they're the best place to shop for diamond engagement rings in Milwaukee for a reason. And that's because the team that they have assembled, whether you're going to Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington, is always going to be able to point you in the right direction. They helped me, and they can help you. Maybe you have some idea. You've gone online, shoptjc.com. You've taken a look at some of the inventory, but maybe you don't really have an idea. Well, go to her Pinterest page, see if she's got anything posted there, and the team at the Jewelry Center going to be able to point you in the right direction, whether you're looking for a lab-grown diamond, a naturally mined diamond, whatever you're in the market for when it comes to an engagement ring, the Jewelry Center has it. Make sure you check out their inventory at any one of their three locations, Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington, or online, shoptjc.com. When you go to the Jewelry Center, make sure you tell them Gabe and Chew sent you.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
And guess who didn't hit the hole? Zeke Elliott.
Ashton.
Well, I mean, yes. You all right back there?
That's so true.
There's a direct shot. She took out the sniper rifle and just...
There's not a... No, she got right up to me, took out a Glock, and just shot.
Yeah, right in the balls.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Upping its game in a major move for all sports bettors out there. You can now use your Pottawatomie Rewards card at most self-service kiosks and at the betting counter. Bet on your favorite sports and earn reward points along the way. Now that is a winning play. Bet above the rest. Learn more at paysbig.com/sportsbook. We did the show Weekly Wager out there last night, guys, and my best bet for this week is Commanders over Giants -3.5.
Okay.
Right? Like, doesn't that seem
at
like a...
New York?
That's a good point. I don't know where it is. I should know that off the top of my head, but I just don't.
I think it's
at New York.
It has to be. There's no way that line makes sense if it's in Washington.
Aren't the Jets favored against the Texans?
Yes. Yes.
They are.
The Jets are favored against the Texans. Yeah. Because the Texans are without Nico Collins and Stephon Diggs. Big.
Sure.
Yeah.
But guess what?
The Jets are bad.
The Jets have Aaron Rodgers.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It's a bad thing.
Okay. It's weird how we've gotten there. It's very weird. It's just a weird, bizarro world that we are living in right now. So anyway, if you are interested in listening to the Weekly Wager show, it is every Wednesday from 6 to 7 right here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. We just had Jason Wilde on, and he basically told Gabe, cool your jets. Calm down.
Kind of.
R-E-L-A-X.
Kind of, but
will.
Not really.
Really? You didn't walk away from that feeling like, all of these guys who didn't play yesterday are going to play, but Jordan Love we're not sure about.
Yeah, the most important one is the one he kind of saved for the end and is like, well, I don't know if Jordan's going to play. And gave us a long litany of reasons as to why Jordan Love may not play in this game against Detroit. Well, and let's be honest. I mean, how many of these guys would you trade off? Let's say everybody else is available to play that didn't practice yesterday. Jacobs, Walker, Jenkins, Myers, Alexander, Williams. How many of those would you say, hey, I'd rather have them be inactive so Jordan can be
So we're
active.
Doing like a tradesies
Correct.
Thing here. Okay, so
yes.
I will trade you my Elton Jenkins rookie card and my Jair Alexander rookie card for your Jordan Love rookie card.
Because honestly, I feel like if the rest of them, I mean, well, if 3/5 of your offensive line is out, that's bad.
Right.
But if one of those offensive linemen and Jordan Love can play, I feel better about them being able to win.
Okay, which is interesting because of the three that are on this list, Rashid Walker, Elton Jenkins, and Josh Myers, if you could take one of them and say, I will sacrifice one offensive lineman, who would it be?
Myers.
Really?
He's the worst one of the list.
Well, yeah, but he's the center.
Yeah, but you didn't figure that out.
Hold on. Jen, the trade-off Jair for Love isn't a very big gap. This offense puts up points. Puts up points. So if Jair's not playing, who starts at corner? Stokes and
Nixon?
Who?
I mean, it might not even be Stokes. It could be Valentine.
I'm just saying who I'd be willing to trade for a healthy Jordan Love. I feel like the price is going to be pretty steep. I don't think I could throw him a bag of nickels, you know, to get a healthy Jordan Love out there.
Jair and a little bit more.
Well, that's what I said. I said Elton Jenkins and Jair.
Yeah. I just think that to your point, Chewy, they're going to have to score points. And like, even though, yes, last week, I guess they ran some of the same stuff. I mean, Malik Willis only threw the ball 5 times. Like they, no matter how good we feel about Malik and what he has done has been tremendous, they still protect him. And I don't know how many top teams you can beat. You can beat Jacksonville. You can beat Indy. You can beat Tennessee by throwing the ball 10 times. I don't think you can beat Detroit playing that way.
I don't know because they haven't cut him loose. Now it's time to cut him loose because no one's going to expect you to win. Run the same offense with Malik that you're going to run with Jordan. Stop being so cautious, all right? No, like I said, no one expects you to win. Let the guy go see what he can do. Go. Call the same place. See what happens.
Don't you think they already know what he can do, and that's why they've had the game plans that they've had?
I don't think they do.
Run heavy.
This is different than
limit,
a game.
Limit his, you know, he's not going to get to his fourth progression, you know, kind of the 1-2. And that happened last week at the 20-yard run where he rolled out. Okay, got first reads not open. I'm just going to take off and make something happen with my legs.
That's
how you win with Malik.
Yeah, so do it.
Okay, so hold on. We got a lot of sound here I want to get to. And since you guys are talking about Malik, let's talk about Malik first. Matt LaFleur was talking about the trust he has in Malik Willis now compared to when he first had him out on the field.
A lot more. I mean, he's got a good understanding of what we're trying to get accomplished, of the techniques and fundamentals. So I would say much more confident. And I think that kind of showed in the game, too. It's not like in the game we weren't going to run anything that was – everything was live that we had installed. So he's done a really nice job.
Gabe, but we saw plays in
– Yes.
22 – Chewy and 22. Chewy and 22.
All on 22.
Okay. On how bad Jacksonville's on how bad Jacksonville's defense is. Not only are they bad players, they're lazy. They're going up against Detroit, who I think you said is the 7th ranked defense against the run.
They're pretty good against the run, yes. They're very good
defense. They're pretty good against the run, and Detroit's a pretty smart coaching staff. I don't think Josh Jacobs is running wild.
Exactly.
So you have to, in order to win this game, you kind of have to cut Malik Willis loose. I almost got hit by a telephone pole
yesterday.
That's
true, yes, absolutely.
Can you cut me some slack?
I'll cut you some slack. And by the way,
thank you.
Did you see the highlight that he sent us?
I haven't watched it yet.
Of John Lynch hitting him?
Looks like a telephone pole to the chest.
Oh, my God. I mean, I think Lynch would be ejected. I think Lynch, I mean, he leads with the crown of the helmet. Chewy, by the way, holds on to the football. You know, so, I mean, yeah, it's a big hit by Lynch, but it's an even bigger gain for our guy in the Green Bay Packers.
If you missed the first segment of our show, Chewy revealed to us that yesterday while driving in his truck, a telephone pole went through the windshield in an incident with an old lady who cut him off. Anyway, you'll have to check it out on Wisconsin On Demand. But we did put the picture up on the YouTube stream if you want to see where the telephone pole made contact with Chewy's windshield yesterday. And I said Final Destination. Final Destination, that Josh. Is the only thing I could think of. I'm glad that you are okay. But hashtag Final Destination.
Josh, is there any way to put that video up too and say, I think I would rather get hit by the telephone pole?
That's above my pay grade.
Okay, I was just wondering. No, but you're good.
Maddie's very talented, and I bet there will be some version of it showing up on social media by the end of the day.
So back to Malik, in order to win this game, you got to cut him loose. You can't be like, all right, let's run the ball first, second down, try it on third down. What the hell? No one's going to expect them to win anyways. Cut the guy loose. No?
I mean, I just don't know if... I mean, again, I'm not trying to take away anything Malik has done, but I think there's a reason why his pass attempts have been down. Yes, it's great that things were live, right? They threw the ball 20 times in the first half. 20 times in the first half. And then they threw it five with Malik. Like, that's... And it's great that Matt LaFleur is saying, hey, I've got all the confidence in the world in him. And he's a really good backup player. He's not Jordan Love. If he has to throw the ball 30 to 35 times, Chew, I don't think you can win that way with Malik. Yeah,
Gabe, hold on for 1 second, Chew. If you are game planning this week and you are Matt LaFleur, how are you catering your offense? Are you catering to Malik Willis, thinking that he needs more reps in practice to kind of get comfortable going out there against a formidable foe like the Lions? Or are you saying, we're expecting Jordan to start, we're going to run the offense as though Jordan is starting, and if we need Malik Willis, then he will be a spot starter on Sunday?
Yeah, throw a couple of wrinkles in them. I mean, you run enough boots as is. You know, you want to be able to be under... And that's the other thing. If Jordan can't run the offense the way you want him to run it, being under center,
mobile,
being able to get out there and run the boots and the wide runs that, you know, you have to get out from under center in order to run. Yeah, I mean, I'm throw a couple of read option plays in there for Malik in case, but I think you have to... To Chewy's point, I think you have to run the offense as is.
Do you agree with Jason from the standpoint that if this game is in the 30s, you're not going to do it running the ball?
Correct.
You're not?
Correct.
Josh Jacobs would have to run for 280 yards in order for them to score 30 points.
Be pretty sick if he did, but just, no, that is not
it's
happening.
It's just not going to happen. And then let me ask you this question, both you guys. Malik Willis should play if Jordan Love is X percent.
You tell me. You're the doctor. You're the one who's tried to play through like these soft tissue injuries. Is 85% good enough for Jordan? Is it higher than that?
I don't know.
Like, what did you try to play through? Because you said you played through a groin injury. What percent were you when you tried to play through it?
Yeah,
and then it didn't work out for you.
I played at 85%, which I shouldn't have, which was stupid. That was probably more ego than anything because Jeff Thomason was a viable backup. And they kind of leave it up to the player. But I shouldn't have played. I should have just said, Jeff, you take it and go with it. But with Malik, I don't know, Jordan, 85, 90%?
I guess I was sitting at 75. That's where my gut jumped to immediately. Let's put that on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. Malik Willis should start for the Packers this weekend against the Lions if Jordan Love is blank percentage. 50, 75.
I'm at 90.
90, yeah.
I'm at 90. Because if Chewy was at 85 and he tried to play through it and he made it worse and then he had to miss 4 weeks, that's the worst case scenario. That is the worst case scenario is Jordan tries to play through it and then has to miss 4 weeks.
Go ahead and weigh in on that as we get that up on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. We will roll on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy right after this. But first, Robert in the 262 says, man, you really have to slow down and enunciate when you say butthole pucker. It's an FCC violation just waiting to happen. And you know the FCC tends to be quite particular about such things. Robert didn't say particular, but I am avoiding an FCC violation. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on right after this.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I have told you how many times. Do not mess with electricity, Chew.
And I don't. I did. I did. But
there was
I don't.
An incident?
There was one.
Plumbing, you're going to get wet. Electricity, you're going to die.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Drank the water. Autotrans is a veteran-owned business dedicated to providing unmatched corporate, personal, and event-related transportation that you will use again and again. When I am traveling for college football season, guys, Accutrans is my go-to company to get me to and from the airport with ease. Why? Because booking is easy, safe, and dependable. Go to their website, AccutransGroup.com. There you can get a quote, or you can go ahead and book your reservation today. That's AccutransGroup.com for reliable and safe transportation anywhere. So I was just thinking, guys, I know I mentioned this before. I pulled my groin last year. I was on crutches for a little while. And I remember I had gone out for a run and I just stepped awkwardly, you know, like the ground isn't always level and it kind of went down into the ditch and I kind of just stepped awkwardly and it was enough to pull the groin. And I was out for a run and I remember dropping down to the ground and being like, whoa, okay, just give it a minute, let it relax, stand back up, took a step, nope, couldn't go. Had to have my husband come and pick me up, couldn't even walk the rest of the way home. And that reminded me of what Jordan Love did, where he was like, oh no, like when he struggled, as Jason was talking to us about, to get out of bounds and had to kind of drop down right there. It was one of those like, I can't do anything right now. Now it subsided. A few days later, I was able to walk a little bit better after I had been on crutches for a few days, but it still took a while for that injury to heal, and I wasn't being asked to do the demanding things that Jordan Love is being asked to do. Which brings us to our Twitter poll that Chewy suggested this morning. What percentage should Jordan Love or would Jordan Love have to be at for Malik Willis to play? So we've got Malik Willis should play if Jordan Love is blank percent. And what'd we throw out there, Joshy? 50, 75?
I started at 75 because I think below 75 you're kind of just like, what are you even doing out there then?
So what do you got?
Right now, 75% is leading. So it seems like early on, people are saying if he can play at all, if he can be out there, put him out there. Basically, I would bet it would go lower if I'd put it on.
75, 80, 85, 90 or more are the options that Joshy is giving you this morning. Malik Willis should start this Sunday if Jordan Love is blank percent. We are getting reaction rolling in on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line. Mark in Watertown says, if Love isn't over 90, he shouldn't play. Look at how much he didn't put weight on his knee when he went through against the Vikings. If you think play Love at 80% at the least percentage, that's what Dave and Aaron is saying. But game plan for Willis at the same time, you shouldn't make an official decision until an hour before game time. That way you keep Detroit on their toes. Chewy, you buy that Detroit is going to be surprised by whoever is out there under center?
I think the fact that, because we all thought that the sideline told him to go down.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that he went down on his own means it's pretty bad. My guess is they're prepping for Malik. That would be my guess. You know, so if they're prepping for Malik, that means, Malik, you're going to beat us, not Josh Jacobs. So there's going to be people in the box.
Heavy boxes.
Switching it up. It just, yeah. If they're saying, all right, if Packers win, it's going to be because of Malik, and it's not going to be because of Josh Jacobs.
More reaction coming in, guys. John in the 414 says the Packers should take the opportunity to rest Love for the 21 days to get his groin and his knee back to 100% so they can finish the season as opposed to putting him in and having it get worse. That seems to be a general sentiment, that being out there in any capacity after what we saw last Sunday would, you know, there's a high chance, there's a high probability, Gabe, that it gets worse.
This is for the division in early November. And it'd be nice to have the division lead in early November be in that driver's seat. But if you lose this game, it's not the end of the world. It's not. I mean, you have 8 games to recover. You've got another game against Detroit. Yes, it would not be great to start 0-2 in the division. But having Jordan Love healthy is the most important thing. I mean, how many times have we talked about this regardless of sport? Like late in the season, you want your guys healthy, and making sure Jordan Love healthy is, at this point, still to me a top priority, even though this is a pretty big game.
Wouldn't it make a ton of sense for the Packers just to basically rule him out internally as early as possible? Because the game plan between Malik Willis and Jordan Love is very, very different.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to want to have it nailed down if you end up in a situation where Malik Willis has to play. Like, doing the is he or isn't he thing throughout the week, I feel like would be a detriment. because you're not going to be able to install the full game plan that you really want.
Well, it's, I mean, it's, and Chewy, I guess you didn't really have experience with this because Brett literally started
always
every game. Like, and it's, yeah, not like, it's not like Doug was such a tremendous athlete. You had a different game plan for Doug Peterson if Brett wasn't able to go. But I got to imagine that internally, they'd probably like to make a decision by today, right?
Yeah. I mean, we all remember the Brett game where, you know, he was still in a boot on Friday when we played against the Bears, mm-hmm. and we didn't think he was going to play. I mean, he didn't practice at all. We didn't realize he was playing until game day, but, you know, he was established as a starter in, I mean, it was the Bears. And you really don't change a lot. You just go out there and say, hey, let's just run our best stuff. Mm-hmm. And if we do, we're going to beat them anyway. So it's a little different. But no, I would keep it covert. I would keep them guessing.
But
even though I don't think Detroit's buying it.
But I'm saying internally, true. Like, yeah, externally, do whatever you want to do. But I'm guessing Matt LaFleur wants to have some sort of clarity in his own mind sooner rather than later.
Yeah,
right?
I agree. I think they already know. Just because it's a soft tissue thing.
Keep your reaction coming in, 800-990-3776. Lots of comments to get to as the show rolls on.